I want to talk this morning about doing no harm. Those that are familiar with, or have at least heard of, the Hippocratic Oath, the oath that doctors are supposed to take, that's the beginning of it. First, do no harm. But as we are ambassadors of Christ coming to this community around us in this, just such a time as this, being in this age, being right here where God has us, I think that's something we need to take in mind or keep in mind, is that the first thing we are called to do is to not hurt anybody. First, do no harm. Talking about Jesus, one of the places in Matthew, it refers to a scripture in Isaiah. It says, this was done that it might be fulfilled that. You know how Matthew does that quite a bit. Always referring back to the Old Testament, referring back to the prophecies. And the prophecy that's referred to is in Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 1. Where God says, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. That's a great prophecy about Jesus. And as you go looking through the colorful language, among the things you find out is he's not going to cause more damage to that which is already damaged. Verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break. That's already injured, he's not going to break. And you think about the woman taken in adultery who was brought before Jesus. And everybody was saying she should be stoned, but they were testing Jesus. What should they do? And Jesus just stooped down and wrote in the sand, wrote in the dust, wrote in the dirt. And he said, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. And when they went away, and Jesus turned to the woman and says, where is your accusers? She said, no one accuses me, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, you haven't sinned. He said, don't do it anymore. When the woman at the well, when he was talking with her, you know, he said, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right in saying that, because you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. But he didn't revile her. He was making connection with her. Jesus is the one we're all called to emulate. Here we are in a modern society where all around us, in fact, I'll go out on a limb, we don't have to leave the room to find somebody near us that has been hurt by people in the church. We agree with that? Every last one of us have either been hurt by somebody in the church or know very well somebody that's been hurt by somebody in the church. But that's not what we're called to do. We are called to bring healing. We are called to be like Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he has brought forth justice. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth. How many times do we get discouraged by trying to reach people, and because of their hurts they won't hear us? And we try and we try and we try, and sometimes I think we end up sounding like Job's friends. Well, the problem here is this and that. You know you sinned. When Jesus met the young man that was born blind, before Jesus has even talked to him, they're walking by, there's the young man that's been born blind. What did his disciples say? Master, who sinned? This man or his father that he should be born this way? And Jesus said, neither this person nor his father, but that the glory of God may be revealed in him. So many times we've been told that, well, the reason this is messed up in your life or the reason you're having these problems is because of sin. That's exactly what the disciples said. Jesus said, no, that's not why. We live in a lost and fallen world. We live in a world where the consequences of sin have trickled down in every aspect. And the problem that we find is people will grab a little bit of a verse, or people will grab a little section of scripture and try to found their entire doctrine on that. And grabbing onto that will decide what's going on. There's a passage where scripture says that Jesus did not many miracles there because of their unbelief. And people will grab that and say, well, if you only believed more, you just don't have enough faith for God to work in that way. We've heard that. We've experienced that. Prayerfully, we haven't said it. But we've heard it and we've experienced. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to love people. There are other places where Scripture says Jesus went and healed them all. Well, if Jesus in this place healed them all, but in this place couldn't do much because of their unbelief, obviously the problem was unbelief. No, obviously the problem was God is still at work in the circumstances, and we as mortal human beings do not have all the answers. But we as followers of Christ are called to go and do no harm. Go and be like Jesus. Go and show love and compassion to the people around us. Now, everybody knows, people that know me know, I am a pastor. I am not an evangelist. I am a pastor. An evangelist has a heart for the lost. He has a heart to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in and reach those people that have never heard about Jesus. Praise God, we need evangelists in the body of Christ. My heart is the heart of a pastor. When the woman from Sidon came to Jesus asking for him to heal her daughter, he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it is not fit to take the master's meat and give it to the dogs. Embarrassing, insulting the woman is what we see in that scripture. But we also know that Jesus knew the heart of people, and the woman was willing to humble herself and say, yes, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus healed the woman. But Jesus said, my focus is on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My heart, not Jesus, my heart is to reach to those people that have been hurt, those people who are believers who know about Jesus, but because of circumstances in their lives have caused them to turn and walk away. Because they met somebody in a church one time that said something and it just pierced their heart and they turned away. We are called to do no harm. We have people around us. I said we don't have to leave the room to find people that have been hurt by people in the church. But praise God, we're here. How many people do we know? How many people around us have been hurt by somebody in the church and won't darken a door? How many people do we know that have been hurt by somebody claiming to be a Christian and just turned away? I remember back, I'm going to say it's the late 70s. We had a very well-known evangelist got caught with a prostitute. We had a minister who him and his wife had this great big television ministry and this great big compound and all this and got caught embezzling. So many people. And as our eyes are on people, we will always find their failures. But if our eyes are on Jesus, if we are focused on following Jesus, not following a person, then maybe we can find an opportunity to bring healing, an opportunity to heal that which is broken, to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who have been hurt, and maybe to let them know that just because somebody hurt you does not mean that God doesn't love you. We are called to first do no harm. In 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 15, Peter's talking, and he talks about being obedient to the leadership that's above you, leadership in the land. And he goes on, verse 15 says, "This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." And if we just stopped right there, which we're not going to, but if we just stopped right there and just chewed on that for a minute, it is the will of God that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The first thing to do is go out and do good. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what's going on. Go out and do good. And by showing the love of God, it's going to make an impact. By going out and doing good things, it is going to break down some barriers. It's going to break down some walls. Continuing on in verse 16, "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Honor all people. You turn on the news today, and somewhere there's going to be something about some protest. Guaranteed, it's going to happen. No matter which news channel you flip to today, you are going to find some article somewhere about a protest that's taking place somewhere. And what I find very, very interesting is most of the protest is very vicious, is very nasty, is very mean-spirited. It's not, come, let's reason together. It is abusive. That's obviously not following what we're called to do. But we just read, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We obviously, you cannot win a battle. You cannot win an argument with somebody that's not willing to reason. So let's not argue. You cannot get through and reason with somebody who is not interested in reason. What we can do is show love. What we can do is begin to look for those ways that we can show the grace and love of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Goes on, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh." We all know that this is one of those verses that God used to get a hold of me, where I wasn't being a good employee. Praise God that God brings these verses to our memory, brings things up that we know that we are called to show love to everybody, to show God's grace and God's mercy to everybody. Not just those who are fun and easy to get along with, but also those that are being difficult, being contrary. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently. This is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That passage tells us that not only how we treat others, but how we react when we are treated badly, shows the grace and love and mercy of God. Jesus came to be our example. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. Jesus, at the start of his ministry, he read this passage in Isaiah. You know the story. He was in Nazareth, and he stood up, and they gave him the scroll, and he began to read from Isaiah. And he read that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to those who are captives, to preach healing to the sick, and to preach the acceptable day of the Lord. I know I didn't quote that 100% accurate, but all of those elements are in what Jesus stood up. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do this task. And we are called to be like Jesus. We are called to show God's love. We are called to reach out to bind up the brokenhearted. We are called to reach out to help those who are hurting. We are called to reach out to be a light and be a witness. And when we are reviled, and when we are falsely accused, and when we are put down, and when we are confronted, and when we are treated badly, make sure that the reason we are being treated badly is because we're standing in righteousness and not because we're doing something wrong. That's what Peter just tells us. What credit is, verse 20, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer and take it patiently, that is commendable before God. Remember, we're in a lost and fallen world, and there is wickedness all around us. There are people all around us who are fighting God. There are people all around us who are angry at people in the church. There are people all around us who, for whatever reason, don't want any sort of proof that God exists, because if God exists, then by extension, by correlation, by interpretation, by everything, if God exists, then they are not rulers and masters of their own life. And if they are not rulers and masters of their own life, that means they're accountable at some point. And there's people that absolutely do not want to hear that. But we have people who had been in the church, and something happened and they got hurt. Or maybe they went to a church for help and something happened. Or maybe they went to a church because that's something that their family always did. We heard the lawsuits that have gone out. I think they're pretty much dwindled down, but the abuses of the priests. Wickedness has happened in the house of God. There's a lot of hurting people that we are called to reach out to, that we are called to touch, that we are called to interact with, that we are called to go after. In 1 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. No one despise your youth. No one despise your age. No one despise your financial status. No one despise your manner of dress. Don't let people despise you, but be an example all the time. Be an example to the believers in word. Be an example to the believers in conduct. Be an example to the believers in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul goes on, till I come, give attention to reading, in exhortation, and in doctrine. You get that? Give attention to studying the Word of God, encouraging other people, and sharing the truth. Learning more, helping more, and sharing more. Be an example. Do these things. Continues on, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. We are called to live out a righteous life in the love of God. We are called to reach out to touch those that are hurting, reach out to help where we can, reach out to be an example, knowing that it not only works in us, but it also works in them. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. We are called to reach out because there's hurting people all around us. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 12, says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet so that that which is lame will not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Strengthen those that are hurting. Reach out to those that are overwhelmed. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather let it be healed. Remember the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. But reach out and encourage, reach out and strengthen, reach out and try to make a bridge. Reach out and try to make a connection with those people who we know are hurting. Because we all know people that are hurting. You know, the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We have to make the attempt to reach out and to touch people's lives. Continues on, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled. So we are to pursue peace with all people. We are to try to reach out and help those that are hurting. We are called to reach out and become an influence of God in people's lives. But we're also called to watch ourselves so that we're not causing more of a problem. The reason you didn't get healed was because you didn't have enough faith. What a heartless thing to say. But we've heard it. The reason you didn't get healed was because you didn't pray hard enough. The reason this happened was because of this. Job's friends. We are not called to be Job's friends. We are called to stand in righteousness, and we are called to reach those who are hurting. Galatians 6, beginning with verse 1, says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Reach out to those who are hurting, but reach out with compassion, knowing that the temptations are out there. There are issues that come up that we must be wary of. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, that's helping other people. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. Then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. I always found that was interesting. Bear one another's burdens, but each one will bear their own load. But what that comes down to is as we are called to reach out and help one another, as we are called to be salt and light, as we are called to be an encouragement to other people, not to expect or not to allow someone else's lack of Christian behavior to impact us. Not to allow whether or not we are received in sharing the love of God change the fact that we are still wanting to be obedient to God and to share His love. Not to allow someone else's failure to become our excuse for being disobedient to God. We are called to be light, and it doesn't matter if nobody wants to receive the light. We are called to be helpers and to encourage one another, and it doesn't matter whether or not somebody else wants your encouragement. We are called to reach out to people, and it doesn't matter if people slap our hand. It's not how they react that we have any control over. What we have control over is how we react, how we reach forward. And as we are being willing to be obedient to God, no matter what happens, as we read a few minutes ago, what benefit is it if you are rebuked or chastised or punished for doing something wrong? But rather, if you are chastised or punished for doing something that is right, God is glorified in that. We are called to reach out to people whether they're willing to hear it or not. We are called to be a light, but we are called to examine ourselves and to make sure that the reason we're doing it and the way we're doing it and our heart in the middle of it is not willing to do harm, but with a heart to do good, a heart to heal. Finally, in the book of Jude, verse 20, says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Jude says, you got to reach people. You got to reach out to them. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes they're going to be receptive and sometimes they're not. What matters is we are called to reach out to try and make a difference in people's lives. God is the only one who can change a heart. But we are called to be His hands and feet. We are called to show His love and show His compassion. When we know someone is hurting, we are called to reach out to them. When the Holy Spirit shows us that somebody is hurting, we are called to reach out to them. When we know somebody that has been hurt by people that they never should have been hurt by, we are called to show love and show compassion. You know, I've seen a lot of things over the last, I don't know, couple of decades, which I understand is a long time, but in the grand scheme of things is, you know, not even a snap. But there's been a lot of one group apologizing on behalf of things that had gone on before to another group, whether it's between races, whether it's between church splits, regardless of what it is. That's my point is that sometimes, while there may not be a big formal thing, sometimes we just need to go to people and say, "I'm sorry you were hurt. I can't change the past, but what I can do is say, I'm sorry that it happened," and have a compassion for people. Because barriers will come down when we open our hearts to people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's hurting people all around us that we are called to reach out to. that we are called to heal. The whole body of Christ is strengthened by that every joint supplies. That means those people who have walked away for whatever reason make us all cripples. Make us all less than what we could be standing together. First, do no harm. But we are called to be healers. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you won't let us stay where we are. We thank you, Father, that you call us to press in deeper into you. You call us, Father, to step out in faith. You call us, Lord, to reach out and to be lights and witnesses to the people around us. You call us, Father, to lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees and make straight paths for our feet so that that which is lame will not be crippled, but will rather be healed. You call us, Father, to be instruments of change. You call us, Father, to be vessels fit for the Master's use. Lord, your word tells us to study and to encourage and to share. Father, to reach out and to bring healing. To follow the example of Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. Follow the example of Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do the tasks that are before me. Lord, you have poured out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us for your purpose. You have shown yourself mighty on our behalf for your purposes. You have worked in our lives and brought us to this point, knowing, Father, that this is not the end point, but you are encouraging us and drawing us, Father, to step out in faith, to step out to bring your healing, to bring your love, to bring your grace. Lord, we can't change people's hearts, but you can. We can't bring a complete healing to the things that have gone on in people's lives. But Lord, we can bring love. We can bring compassion. We can bring humility. And Father, we can bring your grace. So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the path that you're laying out before us. A way to reach out and to touch those people that have been hurt. A way, Father, to encourage those who are discouraged. A way, Father, to bind up that which has been injured. To bring healing. So, Father, we thank you for it. We know, Lord, you have great things in store. We know, Father, that you have us here for just such a time as this. We know, Lord, that you stir in our hearts for your purposes. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father, that you haven't left us. But Lord, that you continue to draw us closer. So Father, we give you the glory and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.